Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
I'm not an alpha male. I'm not a beta male either. I'm just a better man. Better man. Well, put your happiness first, because if you don't, they won't.
Yo, yo, what's up? GYBB, get your balls back. WWDD, what would Dante do? The sexual revolution is being podcasted, and I am excited. You know why, Harry? Because this is a special show. We actually have a special guest this time. Now, I know I've said that 400 times before, but this time I mean it, goddammit. Harry, what's going on? You ready to rock and roll?
Absolutely, man. I mean, finally, hopefully the last show in my dad's garage, where I've been broadcasting out of the now flooded garage. This is how Mark Maron started, right? Same deal?
Yeah, I think. Joe Rogan, too. I think it was just how it started, and then they made bigger things. Let me introduce our guest, a good friend of mine, dog, a really, really funny dude. You see him all over. I'm gonna say a club favorite. I hate when people say that. Club favorite. Give it up for my boy Casey Arora, yo. Give it up for KC.
Thank you for having me. Thanks for coming on.
We've been trying to do this for a little while now. Mm-hmm. And we're missing each other and stuff like that. But thanks for coming on, man. I appreciate you. Funny dude. One of the few hosts that I would say that actually takes responsibility for the host job on, like, he will shut the motherfucker. He will shut the show down. Look, motherfuckers, you're not gonna talk to my friend set. That's not happening. He does not give a fuck about the awkward. We just did New York Comedy Club. He shut the whole shit down. He's like, fuck this.
Yeah, this woman, I don't care and how big her breasts were.
and he actually, Gary, he actually said that. I don't care how big your tits are. I don't care. Wow. You, this is not about you, sweetie.
Now, most people care, just so you know. Out of all the people caring, I am not one of them.
Yeah, I don't give a fuck. I don't care. I don't care how deep your cleavage is. Yeah. I think he might have said that too.
Yeah, it was deep.
It was deep cleavage. Yeah. It was deep cleavage.
But she had I saw her after the show.
Yeah.
And she had like gimp legs.
Oh, really? Oh,
yeah, geez. She walked like retarded. She walked retarded.
Because it was the titties were so heavy. She's like a ram. You know, when a ram breeds, all the calcium goes from the bones in the body into the horns. So that's why she's got little baby legs. So
it's
good to
see.
Good to see you, bro. Good to see you, man. How you been?
Good to be here. I've been good, man. Just, getting my shit off the ground. I'm seeing, I watch what other people are doing. You know, I see that you've been doing your thing. I want to get my podcast started. So I started doing that.
Yeah.
You know, it's been fun, speaking as honestly as possible.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if I ever said this, but if you ever need help, dog, you can always call me. We are like the OGs of this shit. Mm-hmm. Hey, Harry, were we doing ours longer than Rogan or no?
I think Rogan started before us, slightly before us. But I think we're approaching episode 500 soon.
Yeah, yeah.
It's crazy to think about the 500 times we've done this shit.
Yeah, nine years now.
Nine years, we're going on. It's 500 times we've gone on and talked about how women ain't shit, right? Is that how we used to start? can you believe we did that 500 times? That's what some people think of the podcast.
Hey, you know what? Nothing's changed.
Not one thing. None of our philosophies. They're all the same. We haven't grown at all.
Well, that's a funny thing, Casey. I don't know if you know, but the show initially came from a show that I did with Patrice on ONA, and it's funny because you know, the internet lasts forever. That's why you never do porn. But you,
one of the many reasons. There's other reasons you shouldn't do it.
Oh, well, yeah, yeah. That's the main one, though. It's weird because I still get guys who have listened to, you know, listened to the original stuff that we did with Opie and Anthony. They, you know, like it's weird because you get these 19 to 20, 25 year old dudes who just discovered it. And this is all new to them. And they're, you know, so it's great because you constantly always have an never ending influx of new people listening. But we did those episodes in 2006. Wow. And I've personally grown so much. I mean, Patrice stopped growing, but I've grown, you know, mentally in terms of the philosophies and stuff that we talk about. Ben, it's more precise. And I'm still growing in itself, my own understanding of, you know, the social dynamics of relationships and love and monogamy and marriage and all of that stuff. And I'm still, but I'll get these guys who know me from the Black Phillip show. And then they're kind of like, it's weird because they're quoting stuff that I said in 2006. Where I'm like, whoa, God,
a lot of things that are different in 2006.
Yeah, I'm like,
Dante was like, we're gonna be in Afghanistan forever, bro. You can quote me on that.
I was like, bell bottoms forever, dude. I don't give a fuck. I'll never put laces in my shell top Adidas, never. So, but it's like, so they, I could usually tell that they've listened to the, because it's very aggressive, very angry, very aggressive. I mean, even when I do the one-on-one consultations, or even dudes that list that are on the Patreon, don't forget, y'all, sign up for the Patreon, keep us, you know, support us so we can keep doing this. At patreon.com/manschool202. But we very aggressive. And one
the
of the
listeners
things,
are very aggressive.
When they come from the old school stuff, it's because it was very vitriol.
That's what the show was. The show was very aggressive. Well, you always say that it was the anger portion, that something which is kind of necessary, but you're saying it never progressed from there. It didn't stick around anyway long enough to. I think it would have eventually, maybe.
Wait, mean that it would have? Yeah, I think
it would.
Patrice was progress. You know, he was changing at a time. Yeah. But I mean, I was never angry because I never had a problem getting late. I'm not bragging about it, but it was just it's just certain guys are just lucky. In that way, you know, they just kind of intuitively, like, they do certain things that works and then they just keep doing those same things.
Are they lucky or are they smart?
Nah, I don't think so, Doug. I mean, I don't think this is something that you.
What are we referring to? Lucky in what sense? And like able to get laid?
Yeah.
No, I don't mean. So, I mean, I think there were certain things that I did and I knew that I was doing certain things.
How about the circumstances that raised you? You're lucky to have the certain influences or whatever that led to that, or the career path that made it clear for you. That could be considered lucky to some extent.
Well, I think, you know, when you talk, I think we all have a privilege. Like, there's a privilege to whoever we are. Like,
I'll say I'm lucky to have met you, because I don't know that I would have figured it out to the level that I have without you. So
yeah, I could agree with that too.
Yeah. Oh, for me? Yeah, yeah. You agree? Like, you would have been shit. I agree. Yeah. Harry would not have been shit.
Right.
But I think it was, you know, like, there's that guy in your high school or something that just gets laid, like, kind of automatically. It's not that he's smart or anything. It's just that who his personality is kind of clicks the boxes, that he doesn't even understand why it clicks the boxes. It just does.
Right. I guess, you know what? Smart's not the right word. Maybe it's capable. There's a capability that exists.
Well, yeah. I mean, well, when you say capable, it's almost like you're denoting that there's an intention. Do you know what I mean?
I don't think it's luck that plays a part here. You know what I mean? I think that there's a certain level of manipulation that's involved to sleep with somebody to a degree.
I might have thought that years ago. I don't think that now.
You don't think that there's some sort of manipulation that goes into sleeping with somebody?
No, not at all. Not for me. Mm. I think that denotes that the woman doesn't want to have sex.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, of course. But like, when you see someone that you met, maybe I'm not using the right words, but it's just like you meet somebody.
Elaborate.
You meet somebody and, you know, they may or may not consider having sex with you. And you may be more interested in having sex with them. And then maybe if you appeal to a certain part of them that they find, well, now I look at this guy in a different light, in a light that I'm more attracted to, then that to me is like, feels like some sort of manipulation in a way, but not in a bad way. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. I think when you say manipulation, people always take it as a negative connotation. Right. But I totally understand what you're saying.
It's not like a negative. I've never had to coerce anybody to sleep with me.
I'm trying to think. I had so I haven't told this story in a long time, but mm-hmm. I don't remember what episode it was, Harry. But it was when we had I had one of my ex girlfriends on the show, mm-hmm. and Deidre Aziza. Yeah.
I want to say it's 123, but let me look it up. I don't remember because I think we used to break your balls relentlessly.
Yeah. So it was really interesting for me, and this is something podcast wise to always keep into consideration. I think when you do a podcast, people fuck with you because of your level of honesty,
right?
And they also don't want things to be too produced.
Yes.
So there's a rawness and a kind of natural rawness that allows podcasting, where radio is like, okay, well, 525, and then we're gonna go with a little bit back. We're gonna come back with stupid Petricks. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. The fact that, you know, a guy like Rogan has literally the biggest show anywhere is because there's and then think about that. He's literally doing a 2-hour talk format. He's talking to somebody for 2 hours.
Right.
So, but I think there's a rawness and an honesty to that. So I was teaching all this stuff and I was talking about this stuff. I mean, this, Harry, this had to be what? 120 was what? How many? That was second year in or something like that?
Third year at most.
And I brought this girl on the podcast that I was dating at one time, and I hadn't spoke to her for a long time, and she kind of like ran from me in a way. Like, she kind of did that a lot anyway. But I brought her on the podcast because I wanted my fans to know that I wasn't lying, that I was authentic in the fact that I had no idea what her impression was of me or what she was going to say or what she wasn't going to say. And
you were uncomfortable, which is very weird to see you because you don't like praise.
Yeah.
Even though you joke around about it, you were very uncomfortable. Like, it was the only time I watched you squirm a little bit.
Yeah, she did. And they loved watching me squirm. I mean, Casey, you've known me for a good amount of time. I mean, I don't know if you've ever seen me squirm.
No, I've never seen you squirm. You're always in the pocket. You're always, you know what I mean? You're right where you need to be. You're not uncomfortable.
Right. And
always the right temperature wherever you walk into.
Just right there. Bing, bing, just, bing. Yeah. You know, need a sweater? No, I'm good. Yeah.
Even if you walk in with a fur coat on an unreasonably warm day, you're still comfortable. That's how little I've seen you squirm, which is to say none.
So it was an interesting thing because I think, you know, podcasting in general is something that it really exposes yourself to people. So I think if you're fraudulent, it comes through.
Right. It's episode 128, by the way, from 2014. This is how far back it was.
Wow, that's crazy.
Deidre Aziza, back over the Beige Phillips show.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
So what's funny is, so she came on and she talked about me and she talked about, you know, what it was like dating me and the difficulties of it and the insecurities. And she, I mean, I definitely got a 5-star review overall, but I didn't know that I was going to get a 5-star review, which was interesting, just to expose myself to that kind of scrutiny and then be okay with it. And I think the fans kind of respond to that as well. But one of the things that I think is, you know, when we're talking about smartness or there was situations where I would teach different techniques, things to do, the things that work, which was like manipulative. And then later on, I found out that I use this term that real game is no game at all.
Right. Right.
So a lot of pickup artists, it's funny because I do consultations. I do one-on-one consultation. It was a kid who had spent maybe $8,000 or $9,000 in pickup artists, boot camps and stuff. Mm-hmm. Like a boot camp at like $3,000-$4,000 for the weekend. And
there's no limit people will spend to pick up women.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And then this kid was fucked up because he had some really extensive rejection. A girl actually struck him, you know.
Jesus.
And I was like, well, what happened? Like, what did you say? Like, what? But one of the things I think that happens is there's an inauthenticity.
Mm-hmm.
So when you say like a manipulation, one of the things that I think is really interesting, it's funny because I want to get into that thing we were talking about, Harry, because we didn't really finish talking about, but yeah, and it'll be great because you'll give me a little insight on it too, Casey. But
inauthenticity.
There's a subtext,
right,
to everything that you do.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that, because you're on stage all the time and you're being judged every moment. So even when I started off talking about how Casey don't mind slam, you know, like telling you, I don't care how big your tits are, stop talking in the room. Like there's a certain confidence that you have to have to be able to do that. But there's also a specific creed that you're willing not to. We are not willing to sell your soul because she has big tits. You know what I mean? Or because you might be able to fuck her afterwards because of whatever. That's also not knowing she's got little gimpy legs, but that's
a whole other thing. Right.
I mean, would that have stopped you if you're a big fan of big tits?
No, what I meant was, bitch, you got big tits, but you got gimpy legs. Let's bring you down to like a 4 now. Come on, bitch. If I got to carry you around. Like, come on, how dope are you?
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's. I think that there's an obligation that you owe as the MC to do these types of things. But I do want to hear more about this, like a certain type of creed.
But that creed, mm-hmm. that creed is something that when you have that creed, like if you practice that same creed in when it comes. So a lot of times people will have that creed in one situation and then they'll falter when it comes to other situations. Like your code or your creed is something that should be thought about in a way that gives you reference to whenever you're confronted with a situation that you're not comfortable or haven't been in before. You should be able to refer back to that creed and come up with the answer of how you move forward.
Right.
So, you know, I've seen guys that take no shit about this and that, and then they get a girl and the girl, and then they're like, happy life, happy wife. And then, you know, and then good.
Right. I never understood that mentality. The, you know, it was a constant, this was like the concept I've heard time and time again, is that a woman will, you know, like a guy will be like a tiger or a fucking boss, and then the woman is gonna declaw him. She took away all his bite. And I mean, I hear that a lot, but it's like maybe you didn't have that bite to begin with.
Or I don't know if you don't have that bite.
Right.
But I will say there's a situation because of your particular insecurities.
Right.
You are not confident in that realm. And because you're not in confident in that realm, you succumb because you feel like you're weak there.
Right.
So
I also think guys don't look at it as the same as they do with other aspects of their lives. Like, you know, that's something we've always talked about, in that a guy will be really strong and tough in business or whatever, but then his woman is walking all over him because he doesn't have the same assertiveness and confidence that it does with a relationship, because we think they're different in some capacity.
Yeah, and you think each situation is different. And I think understanding that there's this universe, cosmic and universal laws, you reapply them all over and over and over again. You have to reapply them. And there's no, because if they work, they'll work in every situation.
Okay.
And I would say this, and I mean, it was totally a compliment that I was giving you to shut it down. Mm-hmm. But I would say this. Now, this is how I've evolved in my own kind of being more precise and more direct.
Sure.
I would have never said anything about her tits.
Right. Absolutely.
Not because I'm worried about saying something about her tits.
No.
But it's a tell.
Yes, it was.
Okay, good.
And it was like, it was a tell about me.
Yes.
And what I was focusing on.
Yes.
When that was nobody else's.
Right.
All I had to just say was, shut up. Nobody needs you to talk. Your job is to sit there and watch the show. Right. You laugh, you don't laugh. You want to share notes, do it afterwards.
That's so perfect. Yes. Yeah. Go ahead.
That tits line was my giveaway. And when I said that, in my body, something twisted. And I was like, shouldn't have said that.
Right. Well, you know what's interesting is because it kind of got a little awkward. And I respected the fact that you sat in the awkward and you didn't give a fuck.
Right. But because the awkwardness is something I'm okay. Like if I earned it. I'll sit in it.
Right.
So,
but I will say this. The tell is I really do care about how big your tits are.
I definitely noticed.
Absolutely. Of course. No.
And I wanted to point that out, is because I would have never, like, and you know, I don't never have a problem saying what I really don't have the filter.
Right.
But I also would, the point was, the, like you said, the point was, this is a show you shouldn't be talking. Whether you got big tits or you don't have big tits, you're saying that you're almost saying, it's almost like you go, Jesus Christ, you got big tits. I got to shake it off and do my job. You know?
Right. No, absolutely. Absolutely. And that's what it was, definitely part of my thought process happening right then and there.
Right. And I respected the fact that you, because so often people won't buck up and do what they need to do, no matter what, even though it was a tell. And so it's really cool to get to talk to you about it. That's what I was thinking at the time. Mm-hmm. That I was like, this is dope that he's taken up, but it's also, it could have been done more precise.
Right. Absolutely. No, in the moment. I mean, in retrospect, I wouldn't have changed talking to her.
Right. She needed to be talked to. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it was getting to a point where it was just too much.
Right.
And, but I would have changed the way I went about it.
Right.
And I can admit that.
And so take that to the point where you get a guy and, you know, you talk about the manipulation of getting a guy to sleep with a girl or whatever. Mm-hmm. There's always that tell.
Yeah.
There's always like, there's nothing, you cannot hide the truth. It's one. No. In 9 years of doing this thing and just my whole life, 55 years of being alive, you cannot hide the truth.
Right.
Because it comes out in what you don't say. It comes out in what you do say. This is a funny thing. And I just, let me back up. I wanted to say that there are these instinctual drives, and I haven't talked about this in ages, Harry, that on a base level, we are animals. We're mammals, we're mammalian, and we're primates and stuff. And so there are certain things that are visceral drives that we, so a woman wants to feel safe. Mm-hmm. She wants to feel protected. She wants to be provided for, and right. she wants to be led. She does not want, now that now led is a very relative term in terms of, you know, you can crank that up to 10 or you can crank it down to 3 or whatever, but she wants to know that she can't just push you around and tell you where you're willing to sacrifice your own personal respect for some ass or for the company of a woman.
Mm-hmm. Now, Dante, you used to say, and I don't know if there's a slight difference, but women want someone who's better than
they
are.
They definitely want you better. Yeah. They also want you better, but I think that's a different thing. She doesn't want what she already has. She wants more of whatever she wants. She wants to fulfill you, to fulfill those cracks that she, or the, you want to, you to spackle those cracks. But what's interesting is, you, when you guys have gimmicks and manipulation, the manipulation is always a tell to the fact that you don't think you're worthy in the first place.
Right.
So I call it shoplifting the pussy. you know you ain't got the money. You're looking right. around and see, and then as soon as you get a chance, you slip. And but the thing what guys don't understand is, there's old sales terminology called buyer's remorse. Mm-hmm. So like it's like Casey, I know you on a personal level. If I sell you a car and I know the transmission is fucked up, right? Mm-hmm. I want you. I'm gonna look at this hand. Look at the, you know, it sounds great. Look at the interior. Wow, we got a great radio in there, but it's a great system in it. Blah, blah. And then you drive off with it. Mm-hmm. When you find out the transmission is bad, the first thing you want to know is, did this motherfucker know that the transmission was bad? And if you do know that the transmission was bad, then there's an anger that comes over you. There's this bias for you feel cheated.
Right.
You conned me. You right. conned me into, yeah.
So when you present yourself as a particular person, a particular personality, mm-hmm. and then women all of a sudden find out that you were just faking it or you were manipulating the situation just to get the pussy, then when the fact that she gives herself to you, she feels as though you cheated her because you tricked her into
right.
it. Mm-hmm. And at this point where we believe women and what they say and how they're, the fact that she may be angry at you because you could be a, it could be a serious thing. Mm-hmm. Because she's saying you duped me, you misled me, you lied to me, and it wasn't that, and it was this, and who knows, you know, depending on where her head is at, where her morality is, a whole lot of other things. And so when you say there's a manipulation, there's really not a manipulation. There's almost a visceral checklist mm-hmm. that where she's going through in her head, even on a subconscious level, that she goes, oh, I'm gonna sleep with this guy.
Right.
Or if I'm presented with that opportunity, I would sleep with that guy. You know? Yeah.
I think there was an instance where I was on the dating apps and me and this girl were talking and we met up, and then I was going to suggest to go back to her place, but cause I didn't want to go back, cause I lived in my mom's house. Mm-hmm. I wasn't going to go back there.
Right. Right.
And she was like, I've had too many guys that become like kind of creepy. So she rather preferred to have gone back to my mom's place and have sex with me.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. And it's like, and it's weird because now in retrospect, I think about like the checklist she was going through.
Right. Right.
Where she would rather sleep with a guy who lives at his mom's house than bring this guy back home.
You know what's interesting about that? That the fact that you were living with your mom wasn't even, it didn't even discount you from her fucking, you understand what I'm saying?
Right.
Guys will hold that in their head. Oh, in their head, they have a particular frame that they feel that they need to be in order to be attractive or to be worthy of the attention, the sexual attention, the sexual resources of women, because it's in their head on their own. And a lot of times the woman hasn't even said that. That's not even a parameter that she's even exposed.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
You don't think that a woman is less likely to sleep with you if you live at your mom's house?
I think a woman, no, because I used to bag chicks up all the time and I was living in the basement of my mom's.
I mean, technically, you're still living at your mom's house now.
Yeah, right. It was the house that I grew up in.
It could be a factor, but it's not the only factor.
If you think it's a factor, it's a factor because you give off. So I always say it like this: when a woman is assessing you, right? Mm-hmm. How you know, from the time that she knows you to the time she fucks you. I mean, even if she's, you know, she's holding back and it's a month or 2 months, whatever it is, right? Mm-hmm. How does she get to know you? You tell her. Tell her who you are. You reveal certain things. Even when you think you're not revealing things, you're revealing certain things about who you are. Mm-hmm. So if you have this ultimate insecurity about living at your mom's house, it will come through. Whereas if you... Now, I'm not saying if she's saying no brainer, I'm not fucking with a dude who lives... with your mom's house, but you're also a stand-up comic. Mm-hmm. You're a guy who is pursuing his dream.
Right.
He's very adamant and honest about pursuing this dream, and you're willing to walk through the fire with gasoline drawers on to get there. Mm-hmm. All of those things are very commendable. You know, when a woman is assessing that about you personally, what she's in essence saying is, this is a guy who's dedicated and he's dedicated. And he doesn't care about the hard work and he doesn't mind being rough in it if it's something that he's really passionate about.
Right. That's what my current girlfriend saw because I was still living in my mom's house when we met. And she was like, she looked up like what I was about and all that stuff. And she was like, oh, this guy really cares about this thing that he wants to do.
Right.
And it's not like I was like not working. Like I had just hit like a financial rough patch and I was like, I'm going to work my ass off to get an apartment.
Right.
And then eventually, you know, like you won't have to, like, obviously she didn't want to come to my mom's house. That's for
sure. Right.
No, but she waited and you know what I mean? And she's been there since that point. You know?
So here's a crazy thing. I did a little personal management. I managed a few escorts at my time is what I call it at this moment.
Right.
And I remember I was dating somebody,
executive of the night, if you
may. And I talk about it. One of the things I talk about it because first of all. It's not something I'm proud of, but it's also not something I'm ashamed of.
Right.
I think if you're a human being who wakes up every day with the intention on being better, you can't be more perfect as a human being. There's no way to be more perfect than you can recognize your mistakes with the intention of being better. What else could you ask for?
Right. Absolutely. I mean, there's a lot of things that I've done in the past where I've just done like fucked up shit in relationships.
Right.
And now I've looked back and I've gone like, well, what am I doing? I know that I'm not getting back into those same habits
or
causing those same problems. So to me, it's just like, it's a constant step forward as to what, and this, we're not even talking about major shit, like fucking around or something like that. I'm talking about like minor shit where I would threaten to leave a lot.
Yeah.
That's like minor childish shit where you try to hold yourself so valuable to a person.
Yeah.
And you're just like, I'll leave if you don't straighten up.
Yeah, yeah.
Or whatever. And it's like, you do that enough times and somebody's going to have the wherewithal to look at you and be like, then just go.
Well, I have this thing. I mean, me and Harry talk about this all the time, is I make ultimate decisions. Don't give ultimatums.
Right.
So if it's so bad that I have to mention that I'll leave, if I don't ever go, if you don't do this, I will do this. Mm-hmm. I will just do this.
Right.
So
right.
Now, and I'm not, you know, we've talked about it. We've said, well, it is, back up, because I had a girl I was dating. I'll tell you who the person was, a comic years ago. And somebody, one of her friends, heard an interview that I did. Do you know he was a pimp? Mm-hmm. And so she says, where are you at? I need to talk to you.
Right.
So I think I was at the stand. She comes by the stand and I go, what's up? And she goes, so you were a pimp? I go, yeah. Right.
I like how she couldn't figure that out in some capacity. The rings, the jewelry, the car, the coats. You know what I mean? What else did she need?
She wanted to see me smack a bitch in order to make sure.
Like, how much more clear does it have to be?
And she goes, and when she asked me, I think she thought that I was going to go, well, you know, I mean, I go, yeah, absolutely.
Oh, most definitely. You go, most definitely.
Almost definitely.
You answered it like you're at a Senate hearing. Like, yes, I was most definitely.
and Congress was like, you were? Yeah, absolutely.
Yes, I was. Next question.
and she goes, well, you know, I don't know how I feel. I go, well, so what do you want? You want to end this? Like,
right.
I'm like, because we can end this yesterday. You know, I'm fine. I go, but if you're going to, I go, do you realize the goofy shit you coming to talk to me about? Something that I did when I was 20 years old. And right. I go, you want to hold me responsible for something that I did 20 years old when you know me on a whole nother life? I go, this is real goofy.
Right.
I go, I don't even know if I really want to move on now. The way you acting, she was like, well, you know, I just felt like I used to talk. I go, okay, so we talked about it. So what do you want? You want to stop?
Mm-hmm.
No. Oh, okay. All right, so you hungry? You want something? You know.
So what do you think a woman wants in that situation, Dante? Because like the fact that you're a pimp, like this is, I don't know how I feel about this, right?
Right.
So is she trying to get leverage in that situation? Is she trying to break your stones? I mean, what do you think?
Let's think about
doing?
You know who this was. You know who this was.
You're gonna be all right,
the most selfish person
yeah,
I ever
okay,
met.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, yeah.
All
yeah,
right.
I know
so
exactly who that
I'll
was.
Tell you later, Casey. So and so with her, it was always trying to get because she was so insecure about herself and what she really had to offer that. Mm-hmm. It was always about cutting your legs out from under so that she could always have I got this that I'm holding back that I can use to manipulate you. And I'm right. going, like, bitch, you must be. If you think I'm going to operate on that, mm-hmm. I'll shoot myself in the head. Like, you're not doing that.
Right.
So
one of the funniest things you ever said to me, and until this day, it's like we were talking in your car and you go, yeah, this girl told me she needs more time. I almost hit this bitch with a calendar.
But I need some time.
I left your car and I walked and I just kept thinking, I was like, hit this bitch with a calendar. Fucking hilarious.
I think it was too. She wanted to pause the relationship because she wasn't sure if she wanted to continue, and she and I was supposed to put my life on pause while she figured out whether or not I was worthy enough
to continue
to move
the relationship.
Forward. And then what the fuck am I supposed to do in the meantime? I'm supposed to sit and wait.
That's the equivalent. It's funny because we never equate that. That would be like at your job if they go, well, we're thinking about firing you, but we're going to have some meetings. We'll get back to you in a week. Until then, you're suspended without pay.
How about even this? Even better. Listen, I don't think you're worthy of me fucking you no more. But let me give me a week or two, figure out what I'm gonna do, and let me know.
I don't think you're worth me fucking, and see how that plays. Yeah.
Okay, let me see what this other bitch got to say. I got options. So right. While you trying to figure this out, and then when you figure it out, fuck you, because I don't. The fact that you're even debating this with it's not even a good faith argument.
It's like your mechanic telling you they can't fix your car, but they're not going to give it back to you either.
Right? Like, oh, we're gonna scrap it for parts. No, the fuck you ain't. So, but it was same person. I was so you know, sex was great for a while, and then all of a sudden I couldn't get no head, and I was like, yo, so we not you know what's up? No, here's what I said. I said, listen, I think we should just end this. Mm-hmm. And I said, she's like, what? I go, well, clearly you don't like me because you're not making an effort to please me. Mm-hmm. And we had this conversation about this. No. I mean, I think we get along. Right? The communication is great. I mean, we do more things. We spend more time. I go, well, what, then why is my dick not in your mouth? I don't understand why it doesn't add up. So she goes, well, I don't know why you have to be so crass. And I go, because I'm trying to be clear. You know, I want to be clear about this. So this is an area me and Harry was talking about. Like, we were talking about Jordan Peterson. Mm-hmm. And we were talking about how he, as a person, he makes these elaborate terms so that you don't know what the fuck he's talking about. Right? It's like if you get a lawyer and they're talking to you about legalese, and because you're insecure about the fact that he's a lawyer, you don't really ask what the fuck he means. Where I go, okay, stop. Mm-hmm. I'm paying you to represent me. You need to tell me what the fuck that means. Right. So like Jordan Peterson, well, you know, in the social construct, there is a hierarchy of instance and an achievement. And you go, what the fuck does that mean? Here's the thing: whenever somebody talks in jargon that they know that there's only two reasons why that happens. It's either they want to keep you in the dark so that you feel inferior about what their position is, or they are unaware of their surroundings, where they're talking in a sense and they're unaware that they don't have the empathy to understand that that their intention is to really communicate with you. Mm-hmm. So I say this all the time. I don't do awkward.
Right.
So I don't know what the fuck. I didn't go to law school. I don't know what the fuck you're saying. Either explain to me what the fuck I need to know, or we can end this right now. Mm-hmm. And so, This idea of not discussing things in good faith with the intention is so that you can be manipulated, or so that you can get a one up, so that you can manipulate. And it all comes from your personal and the other person's personal insecurity. So they're trying to. And I was like, OK, so listen, I said, well, I'm not getting no neck.
Right.
I'm not going to go for the rest of my life and not get no. That's I'm going to get some brain. All right. I don't know if you listen to the podcast normally or know everybody that knows me.
Or just heard anything I've ever said.
Everything I've ever said. Day-to-day
life. I don't know if you ever heard me order a sandwich.
Or if you see me once.
You kind of know.
Somebody's going to be sucking this dick.
Right? Context clues would indicate that this dick needs to get sucked.
I'm about knowledge. Yeah. And I'm going to get this knowledge.
And I go.
Dante just points to a sign. All dicks must be sucked. In the premises. You're like, I don't play around. There's no vagary here.
So okay, so I just want to be clear. She said, well, you know, I'm not really that good at it. And I go, well, I'm here to practice. Right. You don't have to sign up. There's no limitation on the treadmill. You could get on and run as long as you want, you know. Mm-hmm. And I go, okay, I said, just be clear that this is the last time we're having a conversation.
Right.
Well, I don't understand. I go, you seem to think that this is a negotiation. This is not a negotiation. I'm explaining, this is what I want. If I can't have that, we could just not. Mm-hmm. No, I just some of the next time it slowed down again, I was like, yeah, I'm done.
Right.
I'm good. I'm good. Because there's no reason to have another conversation in that.
Really? Hmm. Yeah, I guess you're right in that regard, because you have your certain needs, and if they're not being fulfilled, then it's
and
like
I'm clear. And I'm also clear about it.
Right, right, right.
I'm clear about what my needs are. I want you to be clear about yours, because if you're telling me, if some chick says, hey, listen, my last boyfriend, I love to strap on and peg him. Well, I'm not the dude for you. No judgment, but I'm good, you know? So if that's what you think of it. So, I mean, just if you lead with honesty and clarity, then there's no, I don't have to be mad at you.
Right.
The only reason why I'm gonna be why people get upset is because of their own personal insecurities. They don't know what their value is. And so what they ultimately do is they go, I'm mad at you because you don't think I'm good enough. And I'm like, well, if you don't think I'm good enough, I'm good with that. You don't get to define me. And because you don't get to define me, I define myself. And so just because the pizza parlor don't get mad when you go eat Chinese food.
Right.
Just advertise. Yeah. It's whatever. So, and then I just left because it was nothing. Now, I don't say that you can't renegotiate.
Right.
But at least if she makes the attempt to renegotiate, now you're negotiating with an understanding of what your leverage is. Whereas if you do what you were doing, if you don't do such and such, I'll leave. You're negotiating, but you don't ever know what your leverage is. You're assuming that she's going to go, well, I don't want you. But what happens the time when she goes, well, leave. In fact, I packed your things for you. Now.
Yeah. No, I got called out on it.
And
it
really?
Was, yeah. Yeah. And it was just pretty. I started to realize what a fucking goon I looked like.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and it's just that's the thing that I've learned. And even now in like sometimes me and my girl will argue. And I'll say like shit that alludes to it. And then I'll stop myself and I'll be like, that's fucked up of me to say.
Where do you think that comes from?
Oh, easily from my dad.
Okay. Oh,
he used to threaten to leave all the time. It was his favorite thing.
Right.
And eventually the whole family were like, hey man,
start playing the imaginary violin.
Yeah, the door's locked from the inside, not the out. You can walk out.
Or it's even worse when your kids, they open the door for you.
Yeah. We were just like, here you go.
They get your bag and they go, right. Do you want all these things packed up?
Do you want to take your toothbrush? You're going to get a new one. What are we working with here?
So, and you know, it's like eventually he stopped that bullshit too, but I picked up on that as a tactic. And also like, I feel like we replicate whole life we were used to when we are in a relationship. And I used to, and I love it chaotic.
Right. You know? It was chaotic at home.
Exactly. So I'll replicate that shit.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
And now I'll voice out the things that I want to do, but I'm not gonna. Tell my girl, I'm very angry right now. I want to throw this cup against the wall. I'm that pissed off. There's no indicator that I'm gonna, you know what I mean? It's expressing my rage and just being like, I'm so pissed off about what we're discussing. It's making me angry.
Well, let me ask you something. What specifically is a thing that would make you angry that way?
I'm trying to
not getting enough head.
No.
That's how crazy would I
specific instances that would where I just feel, I know what it is. Oh, here we go. She'll move my shit around. And I don't like it. I don't like when you move my stuff.
Okay.
And not that I can't find it. It's just piled in the corner with the rest of my things.
Right.
And I don't feel like it's our place when you do that kind of stuff.
Okay. So but then this is interesting because we're reading this subtext as well. It's like when I teach guys how they should communicate, because I think, Harry, more and more I'm realizing that we're just teaching guys how to communicate properly.
Right. Right.
And understanding what the subtext of what they're giving away in the process of that. Mm. So it's almost like you took my things and you don't care about my things.
Right.
And so you just pile them in the corner. And so it's almost like a level of inadequacy because of the fact that my things is a representation of me, and you don't give my things the concern that you give your own things.
Yes.
Is that what it feels like? That?
That, and it feels like since you move only my stuff,
right?
It feels like her stuff could be scattered.
Right.
But mine can't be.
Yeah.
Mine has to be in a corner. And then it makes me feel like I don't live here.
Okay. So here's the thing. Because I kind of go through that stuff with my wife too sometimes. But what I realize is it's really just her selfishness. Like, she really doesn't give a fuck about your things. That doesn't mean she doesn't give a fuck about you.
Right. But I equate those things.
Right. And so, yeah. But understanding that, really all you have to do is listen. Mm-hmm. I need you to stop moving my things. And if you do move my things, I need you to move them with the care and the understanding that you move your own. It's unfair. We're both here. We share the same space. And it's disrespectful for you to take my things and pile them in the corner.
Right.
Because it just feels like you're discarding. It feels like I'm not important, and I need you to. And I don't care whether you think I am or not, but I don't want to be treated that way. It's disrespectful, and I don't want to be treated that way. And then if she does it beyond that, then you got to break up. Right. You know what I mean? Because right. you've made the understanding of where you're at. I mean, this is like the whole blowjob thing. It's like, I'm clear about what I need and what I want. Right. And if you don't give a fuck about the fact that I'm clear about it, then I'm in the wrong relationship.
So I was never able to communicate what you said to her in regards to, I feel like you're discarding me, or I feel like I would like a little more concern as to what you're doing in terms of my stuff. And this kept happening like every few months.
Right.
Right. And I just told, and it would just be me telling her, don't move my shit. I don't like you touching my stuff and moving it around.
Right.
That's all it would always be left at.
Right. It's enough. It's enough to say that.
It is enough to say that, but it's like, at the same time, there's also that underlying feeling that I have that she doesn't understand about the discarding.
But let's be clear about that.
Right.
On a base level, mm-hmm. if she told you that there was something that you did that she didn't like,
yeah.
you probably would make an adjustment.
Depending.
I mean, right. Well, okay. Depending, but if she's saying I don't like this,
right?
Then for the most part, if it's reasonable, mm-hmm. you would go, okay, all right. I just won't do that. You know, right. mm-hmm. Because in the grand scheme of things, there's so much that we don't give a fuck about.
Sure, absolutely.
But we give a fuck about it because it refers to something else that we're thinking about. We give it this arbitrary value that based on our own insecurity. You know,
there's a story I'm reminded where this guy, his wife wanted a fridge, and she was like adamant. She's like, oh, I want the Samsung fridge. And he ended up getting like an LG or whatever. Mm-hmm.
Right.
And she just started crying, and he didn't understand what was it's a fucking fridge.
Right. Right.
Who
right.
gives a shit.
Right.
But then discovering it, realizing that the real underlying issue was that the reason why she wanted the Samsung is because her dad used to sell Samsung fridges.
Oh, OK.
So it's like by doing that, it felt like a meaningful thing to her. You know what I mean? And like. Right. That's like discovery. And I think that's a lot of the miscommunication, in my opinion.
Sure. It's this arbitrary linking of things right. that you don't even know. Well, it's interesting because, you know, what I realize is you know, one of my responsibilities of when I decided to have a son was that I need to fix my shit.
Whatever
those things, because all I'm going to do is pass this shit on, and I relegate my son to go through the same things, have the same fears, the insecurities that I had coming up. And so I need to you know, the responsibility is, because it doesn't matter what you tell your kids, it's what you show them. They're watching what you do. And so this thing that you picked up about this is you mimicking. So your father is the epitome of what manhood is, because what other model do you have?
Right.
And so when you get guys who they have abusive fathers, they become abusive fathers or abusive husbands or whatever, because they see that. And so you mimic it, because this is, and also what happens is you end up marrying your mother, because that is the depiction of what you see womanhood as. And so so it's like what you're saying, it feels like home, even though it's toxic and abusive and all this, it still feels like home. We got, can you hang out for a little bit?
We're going to have to, unfortunately, we can't do a Patreon with Casey. We just ran out of time.
Okay.
So we're not going to be able to, but we're going to have Brett.
Okay. All right.
Sorry about that.
But the thing is fixing that stuff. Fixing that stuff with yourself, and so you give a representation so that you don't pass this on to somebody else. It's
that's a major concern for me, to not pass it on in the current relationship.
Yeah.
And like, forget even like, I mean, kids are, you know, we don't have kids or anything, but like considering children, that is, we're both so cognizant of not bringing. Literally, we want to come in baggage free as humanly possible.
You'd be surprised how baggage free you get. Like, I really, you know, I'm constantly taking into consideration, but also the consideration of what I'm really thinking and what I'm really feeling also is the thing that makes me bulletproof. Because I'm so, there's nothing you're going to tell me about myself that I haven't already thought of, that I hadn't already scrutinized, that I haven't already run through 100 times. Now, it may be a situation where I haven't fixed it yet, but I'm already aware of what my insecurities are and what my, and that is where the true confidence comes from. And that confidence exudes to women all the time, because it's something that, so when you talk about me coming in with a fur coat and whatever, and just very, no matter how hot it is, it's because I've done this. It's nothing somebody gonna say to me that's gonna rack my, fuck you. And to be honest, as a comic, you know, the difference between I'm Kevin Hart and me is that he got chose. Do you know what I mean? Like, we don't really, comics don't really get starstruck, because our peers could be the next dude that gets picked. And it doesn't even have to be because he's more talented. And so we don't really look at the industry validation in the same way as other people, because our friends are superstars that we came in with. You know what I mean? Like, there's a dude that's on TV that did open mics with you.
Yeah. No, there's several people who, all right, there's countless people that have done. There are people who I haven't done an open mic. I watched them do open mics that are now on TV.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely. And so I think, but understanding what your personal worth is the thing that makes you bulletproof. And as you move forward in a real way, the confidence comes from a place where you where you know who you are, and you're not allowing anybody to define you. Casey, plug all your shit, man, and tell her how your people could get you.
Buddy, I wish we could talk for another entire hour.
We can. We'll have you back. We'll have you back. There's a lot of stuff I wanted to get into.
Yeah, because even the term bulletproof is so interesting to me, and I've thought a lot about it. And I just, parts of it, it's like, you know how you like the word, when I use the word manipulation, you're like, I don't think that's the word. I think bulletproof is not the right word in some capacities, but all right, we'll get next time.
And if not, you know, you can call me, Casey. You got my number. We chop it up like that, and then we'll, you know, we can record it another time. All right.
Everything that I do is the same social media handle, website, everything. It's All Day KCA. You could get my podcast. It's out every Tuesday. It's called Meet Me Outside.
Nice. Yeah. Okay. All right, Harry, talk to me.
All my stuff is at Harry Turjanian. Follow my YouTube page. That's where all the stand-up clips are at. And yeah, just check that out. But most importantly, follow us over at patreon.com/manschool202.
Everything Dante Nero, or the Dante Nero. I mean, Google me, bitch. don't forget the Patreon. Don't forget the one-on-one consultations. You can hit me at DanteNero.com. Click on consult and you can grab some time and I can fix your bullshit. GYBB, get your balls back. WWDD, what would Dante do? The sexual revolution being podcasted. I love y'all. Thanks for listening. Casey, thank you so much for doing this, bro. I appreciate
you,
bro.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
Manschool 202 is created by Dante Nero, hosted by Dante Nero with Harry Turjanian and Andre D. Thompson, produced by Harry Turjanian, executive producers Matt Kleinschmidt, Harry Turjanian, and Dante Nero.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.